Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish Cakes, EB, and JP. A little bit later this hour, your chance to win tickets to go see Disturbed at Capital One Arena. We'll be joined by Mike Renner shortly from CBS Sports to talk some NFL. I was just looking at his Twitter, and he has this highlight reel or low light reel of Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. I think it actually was posted by his former colleague, Austin Gale. And there's four touchdown passes the Jaguars receivers dropped. I remember Cakes talking about. I remember Cakes talking about Brian Thomas.
Gabe Davis booted at least one.
I mean, he's got one to Kirk right in his hands. And it's funny because when we're spending our time watching the Commanders mostly, and I watch Red Zone, you don't necessarily see all those plays. Like, you'd be talking about a totally different story on Trevor Lawrence in that game,
right?
If his receivers catch the ball. All right, joining us right now is Mike Renner with CBS Sports Now NFL draft analyst. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Yeah, Mike, I was talking about, I think you retweeted it, but just this montage of touchdown passes. I think Ian Harditz posted it, of Jaguars receivers dropping balls in the end zone. And that's why, you know, you guys do what you do, where you look at every throw, because if these guys catch the balls, it's a totally different story on Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, he doesn't have the best team core. They've paid a lot of money. If you go look at the cap hits for some of these guys, whether it's Gabe Davis, whether it's Christian Kirk, to just not be that good, flat. Like, frankly, it's unfortunate. So Brian Thomas Jr. looks like a star, but he also had a drop in that game. So Trevor, the past 2 weeks, I mean, he's been fine, especially 2 weeks ago. He was actually awesome. But I do think the talent around him this year is just, it ain't enough, and it's not like they're doing enough to, you know, scheme a ton of guys open in that offense either.
Mike, give us your thoughts on Jaden Daniels' body of work through six games. I see you tweeted on October 6th at Mike Renner. Jaden Daniels might already be the best go-ball thrower in the NFL. He's been uber impressive early in his career.
Through six games, so I've been doing this since, 2015 NFL draft analysis in terms of like projected rookies to the NFL. There's not been a better rookie through six games. There just hasn't. I mean, what he's doing at the NFL level right now is beyond, I think, anyone's wildest dreams. You just don't expect a quarterback to look the way he has. And it's just the poise. Even this past week, I think the first week they really like took away the run game. Pretty much every single week they had that to lean on, and they were so successful in that regard. And he's obviously a big part of that. But it took away the run game, and everyone thought, or at least I thought, like, what's it going to look like when that's the case? Because, a lot of great quarterbacks, they do it all on their own. They were able to do it all on their own. And Jaden, I thought, when they were down two scores, he was still battling. When everyone knew he was going to pass and when he was under quick pressure, he was still making the right read, decisive, getting the ball where it needed to go. He just, sometimes guys weren't getting open the way he needed them to. So, man, yeah, like I said, hard to be more impressed with what he's done through six games in his career.
And piggybacking on that, Mike, Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator. You tweeted he obviously was taking notes at USC. I mean, even some of these wide receiver screens, he had a flea flicker to then throw a screen pass. He's been very creative.
Yes, he really looks like he's turned a page in his career from the guy we saw at Arizona. Now, I will say it's still early on. We'll see how the season progresses, because if Cliff was known for anything, it was kind of the end of those seasons at Arizona. But he had some hot starts. Kyler Murray was like MVP front runner through like week 10 at one point, and then the wheels started to fall off. People started to catch on to what they were doing offensively, and he didn't have that sort of second act to his play calling. So we'll see if that's changed. But, man, even just early on, a lot different from the guy we saw in Arizona, and just perfectly tailored to Jaden Daniels and his strengths. I mentioned him being the best go ball thrower in the NFL, and it's like this offense really lulls teams into sleep by peppering them underneath. You know, just peppering the quick passing RPO game, those screens you mentioned. And then once your eyes as a defender start to be like, I need to get in on those, I need to come up and make plays on those, boom, you perfectly timed go balls over the top, these deep shots that Jaden's just so good at that they just really, it's a perfect marriage at this point in their careers.
Is it sustainable, though? And here's the thing, I agree. I think Jaden's, he's blown me away. I think he could do it all. The only question is, can that frame stay healthy? I think I've seen, I mean, who knows? Maybe he'll come back to earth, but he sure looks like the real deal. Makes the progressions, you know, makes all the throws. But, you know, prior to the season, we said the offensive line wasn't good enough. Maybe they're playing a little over their heads a little bit. We said the receivers weren't good enough. Maybe our team's going to catch on. Are they going to continue to score 30 points a game?
I don't see why not, honestly. I'll just say
I love that.
I think the way they play is sustainable, because it's not predicated on, you said the offensive line's not good enough. It's not predicated really on the offensive line. It's predicated on the running game,
right,
which is so, when you have Jaden Daniels as a quarterback, is so different for your offensive line. It basically puts defenders in this constant bind of not knowing where the ball is actually going to go. Is it going to get handed off? Is Jaden going to keep it? They can't commit fully to one way or the other, and that just makes your life so much easier as an O-lineman. And then when you can consistently do that and just consistently play that brand of football, you don't get into the third and longs, right, that really get your quarterback killed. You don't get into those obvious passing situations that are really going to probably expose a few of those guys up front. But then there's also guys up front that I think are playing darn good football. I think Sam Cosmi's, you know, playing at borderline Pro Bowl level at guard. Like, I think they've had guys play much better even when they are asked to do the difficult things along the offensive line than anyone expected. So it's, like I said, no real reason to point to where I think someone's going to take a big step back and we're going to see this offense go into the toilet.
All right, Mike, we want to ask you about the trades from yesterday, so we'll get to that. But real quick, last Commander's question for me anyway. Do you think, we were talking about this earlier in the show a couple segments ago, do you think that the Commanders should go out and, you know, offensively that it doesn't look like they need help? Correct. All right. So, but before the deadline, do you think the Commanders should go out and get some defensive help, whether it's a corner or it's an edge rusher? We threw out names like Hassan Reddick and Za'Darius Smith and guys who are, you know, older and maybe on a final year of a contract. Do you think they should go out and get some help before the deadline's over to help them possibly win a division?
I struggle with that thought process of trying to add, just because football is so much different than like baseball, where that's obviously commonplace of adding that guy, trying to fit that guy into your scheme right away. I think you just want to be more of a homegrown team, especially with the energy in that roster and in that locker room right now. I'm not sure you want to go messing it up by adding, especially a piece like Hassan Reddick and like what he's done over the course of this, you know, not even showing up to the facilities part of thing that he's doing in New York. So I would take a more long-term approach, because usually anytime they could trade at the deadline, it's kind of like this short-term play.
Mm-hmm.
You have a great window that's opening up. You know, no rookie's ever won a Super Bowl, so I think you're still playing for next year, year three, year four of his rookie contract, where he's still very cheap, where you still have this kind of budding roster. And that's kind of what they did in the draft, right? They took so many swings of the bat. They had so many picks this year that they just wanted to reload this roster. I think you keep that mentality. And I don't think trading for one guy is what's going to put you over the edge this year.
Okay. All right. Some big names get traded yesterday. Give us your thoughts, first of all, on Devontae going to New York.
I thought it was 2 weeks overdue, man. If they would have had him before the Broncos game, they might have won three straight instead of lost three straight. So to me, if they were going to do it, I can't believe it took them this long to do it. I don't think it's too little too late. I still think that puts them into the playoff picture. This defense has been good enough to make the playoffs. They're definitely missing the wide receiver too. So this puts them in a wild card, but they could have won the division, and they could have been in a position to have home playoff games. And, you know, now with Aaron Rodgers at his age, trying to go on the road for three straight games and then make a Super Bowl, I'd be hard-pressed to see that being the case. So I think it's a little too late, but it does make them a playoff contender at minimum.
Hey, Mike, I thought it was bad for Cleveland already, sitting at 1-5, not scoring 20 points in a single game this season. Now they deal Amari Cooper to the Bills, and their next three, now they're all at home, but they're against Cincinnati, Baltimore, and the Chargers. Like, I don't see a win in any of those three games, especially without one of their top offensive weapons now, having Josh Allen throwing him the ball instead of Deshaun Watson, who's been historically terrible.
Yeah, what a win for Amari Cooper, man.
Life win for that guy. Yeah.
Buffalo and Cleveland are probably like equal-ish sort of cities in terms of quality of life, but Deshaun Watson to Josh Allen is a massive upgrade, and I do think for the Bills, that's what they're missing. Teams are playing man coverage against them and just not worried about any of those guys winning one-on-one on the outside. This at least gives them a little juice. From the Browns' perspective, though, yeah, it's over. Unfortunately, like, it's over not just this year. It's over for, like, the next 2 to 3 years. You have this contract on the books with Deshaun Watson that just puts you in a unwinnable position from a team-building perspective. And if this roster wasn't good enough, because this was kind of their all-in roster. Remember, they traded for Jerry Jeudy this offseason. Like, they made plays for this year, thinking this could be the year. If he's going to look like this with that roster, it ain't going to happen. So they're going to have to do a massive reset, and I think this is only the first domino to fall here.
When you watch Deshaun, what is it about him that has become so bad? Is he just slower with his decisions? Is he not as athletic? Is he not as accurate? What's happened to his game?
I don't think he cares as much. Like, I think the whole, you know, all the sexual assault allegations have basically put him in a mental spot where he's not the guy anymore. You know, he was the man his entire life from Clemson to the NFL, had a confidence to him that was, you know, uncoachable. That's just gone. It can't be, because he's like a pariah anywhere he goes. No one looks at him as a star. Everyone looks at him as the guy to avoid. So I think that's the biggest thing. But then I think the shoulder, whatever, he's missing more throws than he's ever missed. You know, it kind of all goes hand in hand. But if he is hampering a consistent shoulder injury, it looks like that on tape.
Hey, Mike, there's some big games this week. Just kind of get your thoughts on a few of the matchups. Seattle's in Atlanta, right? I mean, the Texans are in Green Bay. Combined record there is 9-3. Lions, Vikings, massive, right? Chiefs, Niners, massive. I mean, there's some Ravens, Bucks on Monday. I mean, this slate for week 7 is a big one. There's 5 or 6 really good matchups.
Oh, massive turnaround from last week when it was literally just Commanders, Ravens, right? Like, I think no other game. I mean, Lions, Cowboys is billed, right? It got hyped, but it didn't show up on the football field. So I think a lot of good, like, kind of teams jockeying for where do they stand atop their respective conferences. I think we're going to see that with the Packers at Texans. I think they're both kind of in the same level, whether it's the NFC or the AFC. They're kind of like that third or fourth team in their respective conferences, which one, you know, comes out on top there. And I also really like that Falcons-Seahawks matchup, because they're kind of both, you know, the Falcons are atop the division, but I think they're both going to be in that wild card mix when it's all said and done, and both desperately need to keep themselves in above 500, especially from the Seahawks perspective. They can't be dropping multiple games in a row the way they have. So I do think it's a much, much better week of football this weekend than we saw last weekend.
Hey, what are you hearing on Tua? And when are you predicting he comes back?
Yeah, I'm thinking they're going to shut him down, truthfully.
For the whole year,
depending
really?
Depending on how the wow. next week or so goes for them, depending on when he does get medically cleared. But they scored 60 points in 5 games. they're anemic right now. Banged up offensive line. It's not like when he comes back, he's going to have this nice situation where he's not going to get hit. He's going to take some more hits like that. And with how easily, that.
Mike, you there?
He's still there. It's just, he might be a bad sell. He's still on the line.
It's surprising that you say Tua shut down for the year, but.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. I thought he was going to be back in maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Did they say that officially? Because I thought the coach said.
The speculation was around week 8, week 9.
Yeah, they were speculating, obviously. I mean, they got to wait to see how he clears all the protocols. But I mean, I guess it could happen.
Yeah, for sure. All right, is he back? Let me see here. No? Okay. Maybe his phone just died. I'll tell you what happens to me all the time. I hang up on my family and my friends that I talk to all the time. But these freaking AirPods or, you know, earbuds.
They stay connected the whole time?
No, because I'll just want to take them out because it doesn't sound great. And I'll put them in. And as soon as you take them out, put them in, it hangs up on you.
Right.
You just bump it, it hangs up.
Imperfect technology.
Yeah, it ain't perfect. I don't think Bluetooth is that great.
No, it's not.
All right. Hey.
Mike, you there?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
All right, so I'm kind of surprised about the Tua thing, but I could see it happening. What about McCaffrey? What are you hearing about his comeback? I read somewhere yesterday, possibly after the bye, which is week 9, week 10.
Yeah, I see them putting him back out there. It's just going to be it's going to be tough. They're not a good football team. They've scored, 60 this season? They're just – it's not worth it. He went down on that hit, like a run-of-the-mill hit. I can't imagine putting him back out there this year. He's going to take more hits like that and one more like that, and that's probably the end of his career.
Jeez. Well, I'm glad I took him number one overall in my fantasy league.
Oh, no.
Well, you weren't the only one.
Although in my other fantasy league, I had a number one overall, and I steered away, and I went Breece Hall because I didn't want to put all the eggs in one basket.
Smart. All right, Mike, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it. We'll have to catch up with you again soon, man.
For sure, fellas. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
That's Mike Renner from CBS Sports.
You know how we talked about a redraft yesterday and where somebody like Emmanuel Forbes would fit? I can't even remember. We were talking about Bilal Coulibaly. Where would your redraft be in fantasy football this year? Derrick Henry won?
Derrick Henry's up there.
He wasn't one. Oh, you just said you took Breece Hall one.
He'd be pretty high. If not one, he's going top three.
You know what? Yeah, I would probably be Henry.
Is it pretty simple? To look at who's produced the most numbers. I mean,
Henry's
but it also depends on
like
position,
every game.
That's what I'm saying. Based on position and factoring it in.
Yep.
If you do value running backs.
It's just interesting how it changes because C-Mac was number one, right?
Yep.
Either Christian McCaffrey.
C.D. Lamb was a high pick.
C.D. Lamb,
two or three.
Justin Jefferson.
Who was he saying that at the end there that if he has one more injury, his career is over? Tua? Yeah. Maybe. Tua says he has no designs on retiring. We'll see.
Sometimes you need somebody from the outside to protect you.
Yeah.
He was saying
you from yourself.
No, he was saying McCaffrey, too.
McCaffrey.
Yeah.
If you want to chime in throughout the show, you can always call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. We had Coach Carberry from the Capitals on the show earlier. If you missed it, you can use that rewind feature on the Odyssey app. And one of the staples of the show for many, many years is having coaches or even GMs on the show. We had, going way back to when we first started, Charlie Casserly, then GM of the Redskins, on the show on a regular basis. Well, in Dallas, if you can get Jerry Jones on your show on the regular basis, it's a big deal. And our friends Sean and RJ have a show in Dallas, and Jerry Jones is a regular guest. And it
been
made
for
some
years,
waves.
Right?
Yeah, Jerry goes on. I think he goes on several shows on that station. But this is from the Sean and RJ show yesterday, and it made some waves. Here's Jerry Jones on with Sean and RJ.
Jerry, 1970, a little different from this past off season and building the team we're talking about today. which there was a lot of criticism that you guys didn't add, didn't spend, and don't add, and don't spend, or, and are not aggressive enough with some of the problems that are still haunting the Cowboys today that we see play out on the field. That's the point of talking about the offseason.
Oh, I remember those criticisms very well. Okay, so what?
Are they playing out to be accurate?
What's your point? What's your point?
My point is, it seems like...
Let me tell you what I'll do. Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. Okay? I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about, this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask why.
A job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding you. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Thankfully, that the Commanders now have stable, smart, forward-thinking ownership, and they're out of the crazy ownership game. Mm. Thank God.
That's pretty freaking entertaining.
When an 82-year-old curmudgeon who still runs his team like,
but
it's
it is a stable franchise. You can't say it's not a stable franchise. He's been the owner for many, many years.
Okay, I mean, I don't know how stable they are with him running the entire show. I don't think it's a great idea to have your 82-year-old owner also be your general manager.
It's a unique situation.
I think it's unstable.
It's a unique situation. It's probably falling apart right now, but he did win 3 Super Bowls, right?
Okay, but that was
been a while.
30 years
been
ago.
Been a while.
So I give him credit for that. It's 30 years ago.
He won 3 Super Bowls.
That's forever ago.
And I actually get a kick out of the sparring.
As a Commanders fan, you want Jerry Jones to stay in power as long as possible.
Right.
You want him to own the team for another 15 years.
So hold on, Draft.
And to run it the same way.
You said that people are running wild with that and acting like...
People are thinking that they can that Jerry Jones can fire Sean and RJ.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that power.
He doesn't own
the radio station. What he's basically threatening is to take his show and move it to... His show, meaning like his call-in.
His interview, weekly interview.
To move it to another station, which, you know, right. That happens sometimes contractually, sometimes it's sponsor-wise.
Unless that station is owned by the team,
right.
Those other DJs are going to ask him the same sort of thing, the same sort of question.
Well, they might back off a little bit.
Unless they're just Jerry Plants.
I mean, the program director could come in and say, all right, you know what? Let's back off a little bit.
You watch the regular news? I mean, it depends on, I mean, a lot of stuff.
I mean, if your team gets blowed out like they did 47-9 and you come on the radio the next day or two and you don't get asked a tough question about the way your team looked,
that's just his personality. Yeah,
then what are you doing?
Well, he was obviously pissed off.
He's pissed off.
But they also, Drab, you can answer this. They have a history, right? They've been on this show. I can remember playing clips before where they go back
and
forth.
Yeah, for years.
Right?
Yeah, they've had a long relationship.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys are on that station, and so that it's not like he's going to switch radio stations. And they did later in the show that day talk about whether Jerry was threatening their jobs or if he was just talking about moving it to another show on the station.
They're using it for material.
But most of the headlines yesterday said, oh, Cowboys owner threatens jobs. Fire the guys. But here's what I find most interesting about that in an interview. What is the standard in Dallas for Jerry Jones? He's talking about, no. Let's talk about all the good that I did.
Right.
Jerry, you're not winning Super Bowls. That should be the standard for you.
Well, he's not even getting there.
Who wins some playoff games?
Yeah.
Who cares about the goodie? It's not good enough.
It's
for
not.
The Cowboys.
He's just
fan.
Being
right,
defensive. It's his company.
I know, but 12 win seasons. Like,
that's
if you
what,
flame
that's
out the playoffs, that all that doesn't. It just goes up in smoke.
I think he would take his record. His record since he's been the owner. By the way, he bought the team for $140 million.
It's a great investment.
Of course,
but
it's been
313 and 253.
Okay,
winning
all
record.
That's great. But at the end of the day, it's about winning Super Bowls.
Sure,
and he did that early in his tenure. But it's been 30 years of not contending for Super Bowls.
Great organizations.
That's how it is with most organizations, right?
Okay. But
I mean,
yeah, but great ones don't think like that. The Lakers don't say, oh, yeah, well, we won 52 games last year. We're good.
JP, you're not stupid. The Cowboys are held to a different standard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? And it's one thing to say, all right, they won 12 games, but you lose the wild card game? That's kind of a disappointing year. It's kind of a failure. They haven't even been to the NFC Championship since the mid-90s.
And again, this is a godsend.
Which is surprising because they've had it's surprising because they've had a lot of postseason runs, and that's been the knock on, first it was Tony Romo, and now that's the knock on Dak Prescott, right, that they can't break through in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean,
sometimes it's just misfortune.
They've had good teams.
Romo have like a butt fumble or something? What happened with Romo one time? Yeah. He had something that was bizarre. You remember? There was a bizarre incident.
He also dropped a snap.
That was against Seattle, right?
Yeah.
That was against Seattle?
Yeah.
On the kick. I mean, he's had
a few bizarre incidents.
But again, the Cowboys are held, like I said, held to a different standard. So they win 11, 12 games in a season but lose early in the playoffs. But
when's the last time the Niners won a Super Bowl?
94?
I mean, you know what I mean? They've been successful, but they haven't won a Super Bowl.
But they're getting
there. The Commanders, at least ownership and franchise stability-wise, they've now vaulted, I think, to number two in the NFC East behind the Eagles. I would rather have the Eagles or the Commanders front office structure and ownership than the Cowboys or the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think it's particularly close. You got an 82-year-old guy who thinks he's a general manager in Jerry Jones running the Dallas Cowboys. That's a fantastic thing for Commanders fans.
And here's the thing. I understand how you're comparing it, but the Niners at least are getting back to Super Bowls.
Right.
Right. They're losing, but they're getting back there. They're not getting ousted in the wild card. If you're getting to conference championships, getting to Super Bowls, it's still a very successful year. Jerry Jones knows that his team needs to do better than that.
And maybe at the end of the season, he has an epiphany and takes a step back and realizes, hey, maybe I need to hire Bill Belichick and cede some of my power to him if we want to get back to the Super Bowl.
I'm just saying the Super Bowl thing, yes, everybody is striving for a Super Bowl. But to knock him for not getting to the Super Bowl since they did win three,
mm-hmm,
okay?
It's 30 years ago.
Like, you could say the same thing about the Vikings. You can go down the list. Most of the organizations out here haven't won Super Bowls in the last 30 years.
Because that's true.
The Patriots are winning most of them for a big period of time.
Chiefs, yes.
All right, now it's the Chiefs.
I'm not even saying win Super Bowls. I'm saying get to conference championships.
I mean, one of the Bears done that. One of the Vikings done that. You know
okay,
what I mean?
But you would admit the Cowboys are held to a different standard than those two teams.
I'll say this for Sean and RJ. I respect those guys because they have them on all the time. They've got a relationship. The team, right? They obviously have a deal. The team's on their station. They're asking them tough questions, but they're also kind of poking them a little bit.
Right.
And, like, we have Rizzo on all the time, and it was cantankerous at the beginning.
Yeah.
It was a little sparring at the beginning. He didn't trust us. But now we like each other.
Sure.
And so now we, even though we might ask him hard questions, we kind of softball him. We kind of give him underhand hard questions so he can answer them. You know, I give them credit. And they're poking the bear because I find him incredibly entertaining.
But he also came on, I guarantee.
It pissed off like in
Sean
a bad Roger, mood.
He's already coming on like that because he does basically, you know how you talk about Dan Quinn and these coaches doing pressers? He does that every week.
I know.
Did you see the video?
He does it after every game.
Did you
all
see the video? Because he still goes down on the field.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you see the video of him walking in the tunnel after the game? And he's got, like, Dak Prescott and the players behind him, and it was silence.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. He's in front of the players and coaches,
I mean,
and
the
they
Lions
just got
came
blasted.
Just almost 50 on them in their building. Like, there's nothing to say at that point. You're just sullen. You just want to get back to your locker
and
go home.
I also think you brought up a pretty good point, too, that he's wild and crazy, and not, God only knows how many times he's pulled his pants down in front of an old lady. Like, he's wild. But he has been fairly stable with coaches through all of this nonsense and, you know, regular season success not translating. It's not like he's been crazy impetuous as an owner.
Correct.
No, but the end for Mike McCarthy is coming.
Probably. He's on the last, final year of a deal.
Last year of his deal. Like, I mean, I don't think he's leading this team to the playoffs this year. He's going to go out on a sour note. Like, I don't see any future
McCarthy. I think it's
McCarthy.
Probably 50-50 that they make the playoffs.
50-50?
Yes.
What's their record?
I would guess
3-3.
The actual odds are way lower than that.
You're writing off a 3-3 team?
I mean, if their defense doesn't improve, yes.
I mean, right now,
is their defense worse than ours? Markedly worse?
I mean, in their three home games, they're allowing like 40 points per game.
Right, but where are they overall?
I'd have to look at the actual stats.
Because if you're writing them off, you might well write us off.
Let me see. Points per game, where does Dallas rank?
I mean, our defense? Our
defense
ain't great. I guess JP said we're 22nd, what, in points allowed or in yardage allowed?
I think both.
Cowboys are giving up 28 points per game. That's third worst in the league.
That's 29, and we're 22nd.
Yeah. You're 4 points better in terms of defense.
And the Cowboys are allowing 356 yards per game. That's 2 yards worse than the Commanders.
2 yards. Only 2 yards?
2 yards. 2.5 yards, if you want to get really specific.
But let's look
we're
at
basically the same.
But look
basically
at the offense.
Same, yeah.
They're probably, I don't know,
way behind us.
Eyeballing at 13th in the league. And on points per game, they're 9 points worse than Washington.
Right. Here's, I really, in these next 2 days, I really want to get into this Panthers game because this is. So that Ravens game, they didn't want to use the term like it was a gauge game or whatever the term
measuring
was.
Stick.
Measuring
yeah.
stick. This game is almost a bigger measuring stick because you kind of knew what was going to happen last week. I think most reasonable people knew that you were going to probably lose to the Ravens. They're a superior team. This is a team you should stomp. And early on, they started stomping teams that they should.
You want
if
to see that
doesn't continue, that's a red flag. They're not as good as we think.
They're 7.5-point favorite.
They need to stomp these
so
guys.
If they, what if they win by the exact score that the Ravens won?
30-23.
You happy with that?
Yeah, sure. I want to win. But you'll know it when you'll see it, though.
That's not a stomping.
They need to thoroughly beat them.
You want to beat them 34-13.
I want to hang 30
That's
plus
a good
on
one.
Them.
34-20 works. Too.
I want to hang 30 plus on them. I'm not sure we can keep anybody under 20.
Well, I mean, unless the Commanders' offense just takes the week
off,
like they just show up and they should have 30 against the Panthers because they're allowing 30 to basically everybody so far this season.
Maybe they learned something from what the Ravens did. One thing the Ravens did do a good job of. One of many things they did is containing Jaden a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the only team that didn't score 30 on the Panthers this year was the Chargers in week two, and that's because they had such a big lead, they didn't have to. They beat them 26-3.
Coming up next, give you a chance to win tickets to go see Disturbed at Capital One Arena. But let me tell you about Purple Heart. If your old car or your old truck has seen better days, you can donate your vehicle to the Purple Heart Foundation and turn that unwanted vehicle into support for our veterans. You'll get free pickup and a tax break, and our veterans will get their life-saving services that they need. Call 877-718-HERO or visit purpleheartfoundation.org to donate. That's 877-718-HERO, 877-718-HERO, or go to purpleheartfoundation.org to support our heroes today. Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan right now. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with two tickets to go see Disturbed, the Sickness 25th Anniversary Tour. Monday, March 17th at Capital One Arena, but tickets are on sale to the general public. Starting this Friday, October 18th at 10 a.m. For tickets and more event information, you can visit thefandc.com/events. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline is our pal, head coach of the Maryland Terrapins, Mike Locksley. What's up, coach?
Fellas, what's up? Are we still pals, man?
We're still pals.
Still pals. We're still good.
Hey, just making sure, man.
We're all still pals. Well. Coach, how much
frustrating
on a night like that, how much sleep do you actually get?
None.
I didn't sleep that night because I had to make some tough decisions and evaluate exactly where we were and continue to try to make the necessary decisions to get us back on the right track. So I didn't get a lot of sleep after that game.
All right, didn't get a lot of sleep. Like, be honest. Like, if you had to tally.
I did not sleep.
You didn't sleep. So then you start your next day.
I started it right after the game, sitting here watching tape till 3:30, 4 in the morning. And then I called a staff meeting, and we came in that morning, and we started working on getting us back on track.
So then Sunday. Or I guess Saturday. When do you catch a nap, or does he just power through it on Saturday with coffee? How do you power through it?
I powered through Saturday after we got done watching it as a staff, had a bunch of different meetings and put a plan in place to start making necessary decisions that allow, you know, us to internally figure out how to fix some of the core issues that keep showing up. I mean, we're at the halfway point, six games in. We got six remaining. Obviously, the big one is the homecoming coming up this weekend against Southern Cal. And you know, as a leader, you got to make really tough decisions and address it at all the levels. You know, sometimes it's players going from first team to second team. Sometimes it's coaches being replaced or being moved in a different direction to get the right people making the right decisions. And to me, that's what grit is. I always talk about is being consistent and having a commitment to stay the course until all these adjustments and changes start to show the results that we want. And, you know, I've been around here to have to fix a lot of issues, and the wisdom I've gained from being around here for 16 seasons affords me a little different perspective. And you know, I went right to work at figuring out how to get us back on the right track, because there's still a lot of football left to be played.
So are any of those tough decisions any you can talk about today?
I mean, I've addressed it. I mean, anybody that knows me knows that when we make decisions in our program, I really don't do it in an effort to embarrass anybody or to make light. They're usually personnel moves. When a kid leaves the program or when a coach leaves the program, I've always kind of let people leave how they need to or how they want to, because just because it didn't work here doesn't mean that it won't work. And we do this. I talk to our team about this. You know, we have guys that go from, you know, first team to second team based on production. Mm-hmm. I'm well aware that I am in a production business as the leader of the football program, and that I'm tasked with making these tough decisions. And to me, I have no problem with doing it. You know, there's no surprise that we've struggled with giving up the big plays, and there's no surprise that we haven't been able to run the football. Those are two core issues that have continued to show up and plague us, while also knowing that we're young at those positions. So it's a fine line between, you know, allowing guys to develop while also protecting them as they develop. And that's what I spent the last, you know, 2 to 3 days really focusing on. How do I implement some things that will give us immediate results or results as quickly as we can? And that's what we've done.
What about you calling the plays? I know that was a big deal that was made about it last week, but you calling plays didn't necessarily result in a lot of points yet, but are you going to continue with that? Or?
Yeah, so I've always been involved in play calling. This is the offensive system that's been developed over the last 15 years, and, you know, Josh is our offensive coordinator. He coordinates it. I took over as the voice in Billy's ear and as the primary play caller. You know, one of the things that has shown up for us is we were big little. We were the 70-yard touchdowns, or we were three and out. And what we were able to see or do Saturday was we kept our defense off the field a little bit. They played 55 plays. I think we had a couple of drives, a 16-play drive, a 17-play drive, where, you know, what we've got to do now is the last 3 weeks on offense, we haven't played well enough in the red area to come away with points. And it's shown up the last three games. I think our defense has played well enough to win. Our special teams have not. They've hurt us. And then on offense, our inability to score in the red area. And those are primary areas that we've really put a lot of energy into this week, the last few weeks, to try to come up with answers to get those things fixed.
Do you have the answers, or are you just rearranging chairs on the Titanic?
No, we're not throwing stuff on the board hoping it stick. That's where wisdom comes into play as a coach. And,
right,
you know, you hit these things. Winning championships isn't always linear. Sometimes it goes sideways. Sometimes it takes a step back. And what you do is you keep adjusting. And that's what, for me, the wisdom of having been here, you know, when we came in to what we've taken over and where it is now, the expectation level has risen. You know, if you know the history of Maryland, we've done a lot of things in threes where, you know, you have three great years, and then all of a sudden the positive energy kind of falls off, and now it's how do you sustain it? And that's what we put our energy into, figuring out how to sustain it. And grit is allowing it to work and allowing the time and the wisdom that comes with the experiences to get you through it. And that's what we're doing.
All right, okay. Coach Loxley, we'll talk to you soon. Best of luck against USC.
All right, guys.
All right, thank you, Coach. Appreciate it.
Good talking to you, Coach.
God, it's still strange to say USC is coming to College Park.
I mean, has Southern
for a homecoming
game. USC ever played in the state of Maryland before this weekend?
I would say no.
Probably not. I mean, why would they have?
You don't think like in the 50s they
I don't
traveled?
Know.
I mean, I don't know.
Like for a non-conference game or something?
I mean, why would they ever schedule Maryland?
Well, back in the day, we were good. We were going okay in the 50s.
I don't know.
I'm going to guess that this is...
If it happened, it's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
I was
time.
A sophomore when Cal came to University of Maryland. And
okay. I just would be stunned if USC has ever played in the great state of Maryland.
Towson never hosted them?
No. If anything, Towson would have gone there and gotten a big fat check to get their ass beat by Southern
Cal.
Where was
Cal. I was in a Boston hotel with Towson... House of Lacrosse.
Tiger Pride, baby.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Girls Lacrosse, I think.
All right, we got to get out of here. For Bish Bucks, Cake, CB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. B. Mitch and Finley next, right here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.